Media Network.
It's Roast with KM Bell and Tom. Here are your Roastmasters.
Yeah, I'm ready now.
So, as I was saying, over the last year, kind of year and a half, not that I haven't noticed shitty behavior before, but suddenly I am seeing so many guys that should absolutely know better behave abominably towards women, and it won't stop. And they're getting angry that it's like, don't cop a feel, don't grab, don't talk like that, don't back him into a corner, don't freak him out in the parking lot, don't chase after him in the dark, don't fucking corner him in a stairwell. Stop being that guy, because look, and I talked about this on the Left Show's Patreon this week, so I don't mind talking about it here in the free section, but you know, it's not every guy.
Of course, sadly, they're decent men. Of course, but we're not talking about the decent men. Yeah. We're talking about the motherfuckers.
It is not the point, because if you're the decent guy, you are going to get caught with a little bit of blowback from the not decent guys.
Of course.
And I mean, this is fresh for so many reasons, and I don't feel like telling other people's personal stories, but this has popped up a few times in my life, in my week, this last week. You know, I've got a daughter that doesn't like walking down the street because the older gents of our former church look her up and down.
God damn it.
You know, I've got friends that go to political events and are catcalled, manhandled, grabbed inappropriately, given lewd suggestions as to what they can do. It's, you know, and look, this has been this insane topic now, because when we do split up and we do start talking about our own things, I'm not talking about the mass exodus. I'm not talking about the difference between Al Franken and some of the stories to the left and some of the stories to the right. I'm not going to talk about the difference between Bill Clinton, who's a slut, and Roy Moore, who is a child molester. These are all things that people that listen to us already fucking know. But by the way, I get that you're throwing Bill Clinton under the bus. I'm happy to do it myself. There were a lot of things about him that are problematic in this thing. Yes, Monica Lewinsky was an adult, and it was a consensual sexual relationship.
It was a consensual sexual relationship. It is not assault.
Right. No, it is not assault. It is abuse of station. It is
abuse of station. Yes, it is. Indeed, it is.
Wildly inappropriate. However, and this is the important part for me right now, as we watch Democrats compare Roy Moore to fucking Bill Clinton, he said, can I? She said, yes.
I stepped on your line. Can you repeat that again?
Yeah, he said, can I? She said, yes. She was 18. She was like in her 20s. You know? Right. Yes.
She was in her 20s.
Was it inappropriate? Sure it was. Absolutely it was.
Absolutely. And this is a married individual.
But he is guilty for lying about adultery. And this is the important part that I think that a lot of lefties and progressives need to pay attention to. Stop parroting Jerry Falwell's attack videos. Yes, Bill Clinton is a man of loose sexual morals. We know this. He stepped out of line. We know this. He's never apologized very well. We know that too. But if you're going to grab Jerry Falwell's talking points, you are doing the right's job for them. And their job right now, apparently, is getting child molesters elected. So shut up. Call them on their bullshit. We ran off Franken. You know?
We ran off Franken. Conyers. Conyers is gone. Blake Fahrenthold is still in office. He is actually, but reading about that fucker, that guy has got a number of women who have said what an incredible, inappropriate, and hostile environment that he would have. Oh, also, Trent Franks immediately gone from the House of Representatives. Won't you have my baby?
Yep.
But, totally fucking wrong. Totally. So, totally. And here's the thing about it. Okay. So, what, he's not impotent, but his wife was unable to conceive. So, they had IVF. They couldn't go to a surrogacy, like operation.
Well, what the hell would I do that for when there's all these ready and available wombs here in the office?
I mean, it's just like, and I will pay you $5 million. You know, so.
Wait, what? I'll carry the fucking surrogate for $5 million. Jesus.
You're not
Christ.
A woman.
I'd do it for 10 grand. Knock me the fuck Please, up. Holy shit. I'm just saying, dude, is it's one, that's not how surrogacy works.
No, that's not how it works. No, you go to a surrogacy center. You don't do that in the office. You go, I'll pay you. You know, I get along really well with you. You know, we work really well. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, nod, nod. Oh, yeah. $5 million. Jesus fucking Christ.
It's nuts.
Jesus Christ. And here's the other interesting thing. This is Roy Moore in 2011 on an internet radio show before he even who knows when he was in between jobs in the Alabama Supreme Court. Here he is. And this audio is a little bit garbled, but maybe you can make it out. Okay, where are we here? Come on.
That sounds like Come you, not Baba. Roy Moore.
He was working before. It's got to work now. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
The future is now.
Yes. No shit. I'm using the strong link, too. Okay, here, let's try this.
Okay.
Come on. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
You're going to make me edit for the first time.
God damn it. Here's the thing. Moore comes out and he's caught on a 2011 internet radio show. He's like this one. It says, you know, if we got rid of all of the amendments, you know, past the 12th, you know, maybe I think this country would be in better shape. I mean, especially yesterday or the day before when Vice pulled out this video of an interviewer talking to Roy Moore and saying, you know, Roy Moore was saying, yeah, I think the Russian model is, you know, I think Mr. Putin is probably, anyway, he was favoring the Russians. So the deal with...
I saw that this morning with what's-her-name on MSNBC talking to one of the singers from Pussy Riot.
Right.
And he's like, did you hear Joy. That? And she's like, I don't care. I just want to punch Roy Moore in mouth. And I'm like, yeah. I love her.
There's this great. Okay. So Roy Moore, above the 10th Amendment, get rid of everything else. Maybe that's what he said. By Robert George on Twitter. Some teens Roy Moore won't follow.
Uh-oh.
The 13th Amendment ended slavery. 14th Amendment guarantees equal protection. 15th Amendment prevents voter discrimination. 19th Amendment gives women the right to vote. This is what these people think about. This is all they do.
That's really clever.
So, yeah, Robert George, you stand up. That was a very good tweet. So here we are. You know, we don't know. I mean, I'm still a dreamer. I'm a lover. I can dream that possibly maybe Tuesday, you know, that Moore will lose. Maybe, you know, it's possible.
I'm not buying it.
You're fine. I believe in miracles. I don't believe in, you know, Tainty Claus. I don't believe in him. I don't.
This is Trump's America. Roy Moore is going to win. If for
but
no other reason.
Up.
No, for no other reason than Roy Moore makes Trump look less bad. There was a political cartoon that I saw.
That's why he wants him in.
Yeah. There was a political cartoon that I saw that had, it was a little girl standing there. On one side was Trump. On the other side was Roy Moore. And Trump said, you know, in a few years, I'm going to be dating her. And Roy Moore's all, well, I already am.
And that's exactly, yes, you can cut my laugh out right there. Oh, my God.
Immediately, I'm like, oh, yep, well, there it is.
That's just, what it
it's
is.
It's fucked up, that's man. It really is. And I am watching the self-destruction of my party as they fight to take a moral high ground that no one's fighting them for. I'm not, and at no point am I like Franken needed to stay. I think it should have gone to the ethics committee. I think they all should go to the ethics committee. But what I want to point out more than that is inappropriate ass touching by men to women has to stop. It's never been appropriate. I can't believe people still do it. You don't smack the ass.
Do any kind of inappropriate touching at all. Keep your fucking hands to yourself.
Right. And it's like if you were intimate with someone, you still want to double check a couple times a day whether or not it's okay if you pat them on the ass. You just do. Sooner or later, they're going to bite your fucking arm off if it's just not the time. But so, but I mean, that's the thing is it's like, you know, I was listening to one of the ladies that the women, sorry, I'm working on it, that was accusing Al Franken of bad touch. And
right.
What I understood from her description was they tucked into each other for a side hug, and he gave her a couple of squeezes on most likely the love handle. Because if he'd grabbed her ass, she would have said so. If he had grabbed,
I know what you're talking about. I know who you're talking about.
And it was like every time they asked her a question, she danced around it with really vague terms. I don't like that. And I don't like that because they discount her experience. I don't like that because it gives people on the right to say what I'm saying, but they're saying it in an angry way. They're saying it in a see they all lie way. You know, it's if you grabbed your love handle, just say you had a fucking love handle. Quit, stop with the vanity and just let it be what it is. You know, be simple. Tell what happened. Don't dance around it. Don't try and be fucking arty. Just tell the fucking story. Let's get it out of the way. Let's run the fuckers off. And then now here's where it's going to fall apart, sir. Democrats are going to fucking blow it when it comes to messaging on this. They're absolutely going to fucking blow it.
Ow.
They're going to miss the point. And instead of appealing to, you know this, you can follow me on this, instead of appealing to the parental nature of the majority of Americans, most of which either have daughters or have sisters or mothers, you know, they're going to find, much in the way my children do when we argue, the point of the sentence that is different than the point that needs to be made. And they're going to beat the drum on the wrong tone. Because that's what they do. They will not make an emotional appeal. They will try and make an intellectual appeal. And this is not an intellectual problem. This is an emotional problem.
It's an emotional problem. We know that. We know that because we do this. This is the business that we do. And here's the thing. Politics, Jeff, ain't fair. So whether or not he needed to go to the ethics committee or not is beside the point. Frankly, this is politics. And if you have a groundswell, okay, of a number of senators that are standing up, dispute the fact. I don't give a flying fuck what sex they are. I don't care. Okay? The fact that they stood up and in en masse, one after another, said like, they can have it in their party. We're not going to have it in ours. And eventually that groundswell pushed him out the door. And, you know, you could say, but, you know, we could have, why didn't we give it time or anything? Because it is an emotional issue, as we know. We also know for a simple fact that politics is not fair. You are in the world of politics and things do not always go your way. No matter how skilled Frank Underwood, we all know what happened to him. We all know what goes on. So therefore, some people are masters at it, and they can kind of skirt around it. Other people cannot. And, you know, for we know what Franken has done. We know some of his sins now. But we also know that without his vote, we would not have the Affordable Care Act. We would not have a lot of the shit that we do now, because Pelosi and Reid in that year and a half time that they had, they kicked ass. They did an amazing job passing a lot of amazing bills. And all I'm just saying is nothing's perfect, but that's politics.
But what Pelosi and Reid did in that same time was to completely dismantle the machine Howard Dean built that gave them that majority in the first place.
I know.
And that machine was the best, most effective communications tool the Democratic Party has had since Tip O'Neill, you know, was wearing short pants. It was effective. It worked. You can prove it. You could see the fucking blip on how well it worked to have on the ground representation in every fucking state. Even Utah saw a turnaround in which they had percentage gains in the state house during that time. And while that's going on, you got Rahm Emanuel losing his shit, storming into the DNC, swearing, throwing shit, abusing people. You've got Paul fucking Begalia getting on TV and talking about the nose pickers out in Utah that are just taking money that's needed elsewhere. Fuck you, Paul Begalia. I am never going to forgive your sorry, sad ass for that. You know, I'll let your bald skeleton friend get away with a lot more than I will ever let you do it.
Now, you know, I'm here a little bit to reflect.
And they took it apart. And then you get Obama in office and he builds the reelection machine. Super. But then after reelection, he doesn't put it back into its effective form. He turns it into question mark. What the fuck is OFA doing right now?
Who knows?
Nobody
knows.
No idea. I know that I have never, ever seen a Democratic Party work as hard to accomplish as little as the Democrats in Utah right now. And it's got nothing to do with our current party leadership. We have a current party chair that is a badass activist. You know, I like her. I respect her. I think she's wicked smart. I think she has a lot of great ideas. But she has taken over a ship that has been neutered, spayed, and in other ways completely fucking mangled by people that had found a way to make money losing, that have always resented the fact that some people want to fucking win. And there is nothing in the world for a modern Democratic Party, it seems, that more quickly builds suspicion than someone who wants to work for people because they care about people. I don't do politics because I'm in it for the fucking game. If I want to be in it for the fucking game, I'll go do it in a way where I can actually make a buck. I work for Democrats in Utah because I have morals. Because I have an ethical stand to myself and promises that I made to myself. I have Republicans pounding on my fucking door. You know, sending me emails, but you know what it is. Pounding on the door has more dramatic flair. They want me to come work for them. There's at least three Republican women that have reached out over the last few weeks that know who I am and they know that I'm good at what I do. And they have a hard time breaking through the glass ceiling. I'm sorry, glass, the crawl space, because they're still kept in the basement of the Republican Party here.
Jump parties and maybe we can talk.
Yeah. And that's what it comes down to, is it's like, hey, no.
And I know how the caged bird sings.
I'll tell you what right now, if there is one thing more frothy mouthed, rabid and anti-choice than a Republican man in Utah, it is the Republican women in Utah. And I won't do it. Your goddamn religious text says the baby's not a person until it makes it out of the mom. So you want to beat the fuck out of me with your goddamn...
Sure, when it takes its first breath.
Yeah. You want to beat me upside the head with your fucking religious book? Pay attention to it. Go read Leviticus. All that horse shit you guys get all bent out of shape about. But there's all those verses before and after that look at your current behavior and go, don't do that either. And you're all, well, we picked this one. You know? So I don't know. You know what, dude? This is so fucking repetitive at this point. I think you and I have had this conversation before.
We've had this conversation a couple of times, so it's good to pick it up simply because we have to refresh where we are. We haven't been talking in a couple of weeks, and I just wanted to get my feet on the ground.
Well, I'm all mad.
Well, it's okay to be mad. Don't. Complacency will do, just, next thing you know, Hitler.
If you are not actively fighting, actively arguing, actively agitating your friends and fucking neighbors that voted for these fucking people, if you are not poking the wound, lighting them on fire, and basically making a ridiculous pain in the ass out of yourself, you are fucking complicit at this point. If you are apathetic, thank you. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what it needs to be. You need to wake the fuck up. We're really, literally, we can lose democracy. Look what we've lost. We haven't even gone into bear's ears. We haven't even talked about that subject.
Oh, but we will.
A wound. That is a deep, deep wound that has just happened, because we now know what the ulterior motives were beyond that. Many, many more. And it's just like, it's not that. They're coming here. They're coming to Oregon. They're going to do the same fucking thing to the Siskiyous that they did to Bear's Ears. And they won't stop until we stop them. And the thing about this, Jeff, is the fact that we have the power to stop them. You stand up there and these, you know, people just say, I don't know, you know, we're so overwhelmed. Wah, wah, wah. You know, call the fucking wambulance. Get back on your feet. Get back on your feet and start swinging. Get in. I don't care if you, whatever you feel. Like, get in with a party. Get in with a good party. Get in with a good progressive party. The Democrats, if they're good, if they're strong, wherever you are, knock on doors, meet people.
If they're not strong, go lend your strength to them.
They will be stronger with you.
Yeah. I mean, that's just what it is. I, you know, not to throw him under the bus, but he doesn't listen to the show anyway. My little brother was fucking politically apathetic for years. You know, I honestly don't know if he voted before he was in his late 30s. And yet he moved from Utah to Texas, and that fucker talks like a lefty now. He says Republican in the same tone I do, you know, and he doesn't even have kids. He just gets it. And I have listened to too many people who are like, oh, both sides are the same. No, they're not. There's a false equivalency. And if you say that out loud, you're fucking dumb and you do not qualify for permission to speak. Shut the fuck up. Sit down and read something. Figure shit out. As I have said a billion times in my lifetime, the difference between Democrats running the show and Republicans run the show isn't a matter of corruption. It's the level of corruption. Because if Democrats are skimming over the top or having, you know, fun little orgies in the Senate, well, poor people are still going to the doctor and eating food. Poor kids are still going to school and getting school lunches. And if you're one of the people that think that that's a bad thing, you don't deserve to talk to me, and I don't owe you an argument. You're wrong. I don't owe you the time to sit and listen to your fucking bendy bullshit. When you pop up on my Facebook wall and you tell me I'm wrong about Roy Moore because A, B, or C, guess what? You're wrong. Shut up. We're done. I have engaged in political debate my entire fucking adult and, you know what, most of my adolescence. And now
I was a fucking pain in the ass. I was a fucking pain in the ass in grade school.
I will not engage you on why it is wrong to punch a Nazi, because it's not. That's for the left. You tell me it's wrong to punch a Nazi? Fuck you. You're wrong. I don't owe you a debate on this. They're Nazis. Their whole goal is the extermination of races of people. And you're pissy that I want to get violent? Because I'm dropping to their level? No, I'm not. I don't want to genocide anybody. I just want to beat up a Nazi. That's different. When a Roland Cole motherfucker pops up to tell me that it's okay that he rapes his wife because they're married, we're not arguing. He's wrong.
You're going to have to hold me back from punching his fucking lights out.
Yeah.
If I ever hear any shit like that from any living, breathing human being across from me that says that shit, I will go fucking crazy
on
you.
His name is Representative Brian Green. He lives down in Pleasant Grove, Utah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, he did it a couple years ago on the floor. We were doing an anti-rape, anti-hate bill, anti-violence bill, and he basically was like, well, I mean, if it's your wife, I mean, that's not rape because you're married, right?
You old biblical bullshit bastards.
Dude, the Bible is a handbook for some evil shit. It thinks it's the 10 fucking commandments are missing all the important ones. You know, like don't rape.
There are others. There are others. There are many others, and there are many other books, many other chapters in the New Testament that were just conveniently left aside.
I like the one with Jesus's, Philly beefsteak recipe. That was a good one. Because that dude knew food, man. He knew what to do with breads and meats to feed a lot of people on a very limited budget. And I want that one back. I want Jesus's home ec course back in the Bible. And I want King James brought up on at least notice that if you're going to be inbred Scottish and afraid of witches, you don't get to rewrite the Bible. Dumbass. The Romans spent an awful lot of time making that shit up to try and cow people that believed in it. And you come along and are like, ooh, witches are scary. More meat. Fuck off.
Fuck off. King James. What? This is a really good place to have a break.
All right. I need a breath.
We've been wailing. So we'll be, I think it's just about time for a break. Yeah. Well,
play
I
the
think
music. That's... Will you, Maestro?
Yeah. Here we go.
Folks, Jeff here.
And JC here.
Oh, and Taylor.
I want to talk to you about Patreon. Patreon is how, for the most part, we are paying the bills around here.
Come on, help us pay some bills.
It's important. These shows cost money to both make and distribute, and we don't ask for money very often. And what we're asking for here is you, as a listener, pitching in $5, $10 a month, over the course of the year to help us grow and get bigger. We need it now. More than ever.
But look, you're not just throwing us money. We're going to give you something really unique for your money. Normally, everything you get from us is free. You get a free download of our podcast, The Left Show, the world's greatest podcast, comic book podcast, and of course...
The truck stop visits.
Yeah, the truck stop visits and Geek Therapist. And instead, we're going to give you exclusive content, stuff that we record separately that is then put out for only you to listen to.
Yeah, and I don't have dollar restrictions on that stuff. You pitch in $5 a month, you pitch in $25 a month, that's it. There are goals there if you do throw in a little bit extra. We send you presents as soon as I can find them.
Yeah.
And for those of you that are waiting for presents, I just need to find the boxes. Don't worry about it. But no, with Geek Therapist, the world's greatest comic book podcast, and of course this, The Left Show, and our exclusive content, you get more... as a Patreon member of our family than you do anywhere else. So go to the website for your favorite of the Defend Media families, whether that be theleftshow.com, worldsgreatestpodcast.com, or geektherapist.com. Click on the Patreon button, become a part of the family, and start getting the cool shit nobody else is getting.
You know you want it. You know you do.
Just do it.
There are 10 jillion podcasts in this crazy world, but there is only one that serves a fresh pot of, hi, how do you do? I'm Tom, your host of the Coffee Cast. My mission is to make it as compelling a listen as you'll find it. I'll talk about all kinds of subjects. Sometimes I'll have guests. Good stories, because people listen to what interests them. And sometimes it's the Coffee Cast. So if you're listening as you're texting the 7th draft of a resignation message to that soon-to-be former psychopathic boss, gift shopping rotary phones for your great-great-aunt, or skydiving for the first time without a parachute, whoops, welcome to the Coffee Cast. Remember, you can download a fresh CoffeeCast podcast anytime at Stitcher and iTunes, and now on demand on the Progressive Voices app and ProgressiveVoices.com. So until the next pot gets brewed, I'll do my best to keep it fresh. The CoffeeCast Podcast. we're back.
And your front.
The top of your head, the bottom of your feet, the nape of the neck. Jeff, it's all yours.
Okay, from 1492 to now, white people have really, really been screwing over tan people for land.
Taking it.
Yeah. We have stolen a shitload of land. The King George III of England, the proclamation in 1763, prohibiting any English settlers from pushing farther west than the Appalachian Mountains. And anybody already there would be required to move back east. Okay? Because even then, King George III was like, you know, you guys are kind of being assholes to the natives. You should stop that. They seem a little uppity. They seem a little angry. They seem a little murdery. But, you know, he's the fucking King of England. He's not here, and nobody paid any attention to him. 13 years later, the colonies filed the Declaration of Independence. And as cool as that is in a lot of directions, that also opened the door towards some serious human rights violations. The 1829 decision by the Supreme Court in Johnson versus McIntosh court ruled the U.S. government could sell Native American land to non-Native people out from under the tribes.
Holy motherfuck.
Yeah. That's gone a little nuts. The decision began a set of rulings under the Marshall Court outlined what is now referred to as the Doctrine of Discovery. It's a set of Western laws that allowed the legal framework to take the land away from people already living on it because it was discovered by white people. Okay.
And therefore, if they discovered it, it validates everything.
Sure.
We'll take it. Move aside. We're going to take a little bit more of that. Move aside. We're going to take a little bit more. Move aside. Now we're up to the Mississippi. Move aside. Now we're all going to go heads forward right to the Rocky Mountains. Move aside. And then we'll pick up California, Northwest Territory. That's ours. Oh, Russia. Thank you. We got that. We got Alaska cheap.
Yeah.
Oh, and I've been talking about Hawaii. How the indigenous people were fucked over. But carry on.
I shall. Here's the thing. Andrew Jackson gets a pretty bad name when it comes to Native American relations.
Oh, just Trail of Tears.
And the truth is that not so much him. Yes, he was president during the Trail of Tears. But we have a quote that goes to him that says, this immigration should be voluntary, for it would be cruel and unjust to compel the Aborigines to abandon the graves of their fathers and seek a home in a distant land. But they should be distinctly informed that if they remain within the limits of the states, they must also be subject to their laws. That got turned into march them the fuck off until they die.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, when we look back at the way that our great white forefathers behaved, Washington and Jefferson were way worse.
Do tell.
Well, let's go back. Let's not spend time with Washington and Jefferson.
Because right now, as you read this, Melania is clenching her jaw.
Oh, sure. Go. Well, that's the thing, is that Washington and Jefferson, for all of the natives that they hunted and killed, still honored the idea of native sovereignty. But Andrew Jackson did not. Could you tell? And it might have been that I was being a little subtle, but Andrew Jackson's an evil motherfucker. Right.
Quite, yeah. Right.
What I was trying to do, and I realized that ever since I'm too clever by half, I was pointing it out in an ironic way that he said a nice thing, and then at the end of that he was like, but we're going to hunt you and kill you.
That's the thing about it, is that the double speak involved. You know, first you come off with sort of his good intentions, but then again, the intent is strong at the very end.
Yeah. But you've got the Indian Removal Act. I think that was 1830. And you've got a couple more. If you guys want to listen to some of this, pop over to our Patreon page and listen to this week's Mansplaining on Wednesday. I did a little bit there on Ruth Muskrat. Because I'm mad about this. But you've had, as you mentioned, the Trail of Tears, which was 2 years of forced marching with no water, no food, just making people walk from all over and up and down the eastern seaboard into fucking Oklahoma, which even when you drive there is worth crying about. Yeah, fuck you, Oklahoma. You're a piece of shit state. Oh my God, your record of human rights violations is up there with some of the worst. You have act after act. What's that?
Kansas. Alabama.
Right now I'm trying to make Oklahoma cry. So anyway, Trail of Tears, between 1830 in 1850, Andrew Jackson ordered the forced removal of the Cherokee, Chickasaw, Choctaw, Muscogee, Creek, and Seminole people. More than 10,000 people died as they were forced to march on foot. Disease, starvation, exposure, malnutrition, etc. Okay? Mm-hmm. Here's where we're at. Just so that you understand a little bit of my upset before we move on to a little bit more of this and we get to bear's ears. Since we started writing shit down with the Native Americans, the first peoples, Indians, whatever you want to call them,
there is a thought about that, because I my friend would rather be preferred to be called Indian, simply because when the treaties were signed, the identification of them was written as Indian, and they said, fine, we'll take that. Which I thought, oh, that's interesting.
Smart, too, to keep a low, because anyway, you're like, oh, you're the first people? Oh, this treaty is for somebody else.
that's Canada.
It's, oh, no shit. So in the years that have come through, from the beginning until now, not the 1800s, fucking this last week, there have been over 500 treaties signed with Native peoples, and there have been exactly that many treaties broken. Most of them, over 370 of the 500 plus, because of land theft. So when we got them and we moved them and we put them in places where they could neither prosper nor grow,
true,
when we made sure that they were a beaten people, and we have kept them that way for hundreds of years. And don't give me that bullshit about there's no such thing as fucking white privilege. If you want to see what white privilege is, go spend 5 minutes on a fucking res trying to find fresh food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm looking at all the areas that are not occupied by a casino, because you get 5 minutes away from that casino and it is life as they have normally had it since we put them there and destroyed their ability to provide for themselves.
Right.
You know, don't get me started. I listened to the dollop, the whole thing on the fucking barbed wire, the history of barbed wire this last week. And it's like, oh, well,
wow. Turns out
barbed wire killed more buffalo than white hunters. Stick
so
that.
That's what almost drew them to extinction. Yep.
So
I see.
In addition to stealing their land and their shit, we have committed chemical warfare against the Native people.
Yes.
Several times. We have sort of eugenics.
Where I would say eugenics.
Yeah.
I would say genocide and eugenics. And for instance, since the idea of the Native territories are actually the Native peoples are considered wards of the government. And this is what's really just completely mind-blowing, because the idea is to give natives sovereignty and self-determination, but still the government is in their fucking things around. Nevertheless, they also consider that the place where they can just dump any kind of anything that they want to. For instance, on the Apache territory in somewhere between the 60s and the 70s, Agent Orange, that was discarded, left over, was dumped in the Native territory in Arizona, on the res, on those properties.
Sarcastic gasp of surprise.
That's just that minor story in the midst of hundreds of others of stories. But go ahead.
We have taken away their children,
yes.
Re-educated them to be like whitey people. We've done our best to destroy their native languages and rituals. We have done forced involuntary sterilization against their women. As late as the 60s, the 1960s, we've broken all of the treaties, as I mentioned. I'm hearing myself again.
No, oh, no. Not here, though.
Okay. So I'm trying to just put this in a way that makes sense. We have destroyed 96% of people that we call Indians since we got here. You know, there are those that call it the American Holocaust. And the difference is, honestly, ours has lasted a couple of hundred years now, several hundred years now. And the Germans, while huge, we managed to leave our country, go to another country, and stop them doing those things. But we haven't stopped doing it ourselves. You know, it's it's insane.
No,
what
we
have gone through. So,
and now we are in a government that has declared whites and white only power, has taken white privilege to its extreme.
I knew there was going to be an attack on at the beginning, Bears Ears, when you had Trump start talking about Andrew Jackson. Early in his presidency, and he came up a couple of times. I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, I understand where you're going with the Nazis. I have been beating them up for years. I get it. I've read that. There are things that are still close enough to us culturally and historically that we can look at them and go, oh, fuck. Some of us, the woke, as the kids say, you know, and one of those is World War II. Because we are two-time World War champs. But as far as our treatment of Native people goes, I heard two old white guys that fought in the fucking Korean War, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that one of them said was he mentioned the Topaz Mountain out here in Utah, where we illegally interned Japanese folks during World War II.
Right.
And one of the old guys said to the other old guy, he's like, well, it's not that bad an idea. I mean, it's been working for the Indians.
Oh, fuck.
And then the other old guy was like, well, I don't agree with you. And then that was it. And they moved on to talking about the landing at Incheon. But which was a fucking hairy nightmare, by the way. Look it up sometime. Talking about American ingenuity in war, we should not have been able to do what we did there. So,
What do I think?
Well, no, oh, it's Obama in his last days set aside a national monument in an area that is sacred to Native peoples in this area. You have a handful, a very small handful, of Indians here in Utah that have jumped on the moneyed bandwagon with Mike Lee, Senator Lee, with Senator Orrin Hatch, with Gary Herbert, our fucking governor. They have. Because you will find people that will dress in their Native garb and stab, you know, their people in the back. Everybody does it. White people do it more than anybody else. But in this case, they managed to make a couple of good photo ops. I was down for the Department of the Interior when they came through to have the hearings throughout southern Utah. I went down to the Big Bears Ears hearing down there in Blanding. And it was 100 and I'm gonna guess that it was 150, maybe 160 degrees in my pants. It was so fucking hot. Oh, it was awful. But it was 110 degrees, and they were stacked five high inside of a gymnasium that had no in the community center there that had no air conditioning, and they had been there for hours. And outside of there were several hundred more people that had driven from all over Utah. Blanding is not easy to get to. It takes fucking ever. Even if you fly in on a private plane, it's a 4-hour fucking trip.
Really?
Yeah, it's nuts to get to. But you know what? What the Bears Ears area has is uranium. Lots and lots of uranium.
And who paid? Who paid to lobby? Who paid to lobby?
Uranium miners.
Yes. To get that designation reversed.
And so when you have folks like me and folks on my side and the native people, the majority of which here would really, really like to not have uranium mines in their fucking backyard. And you have us saying, hey, what the hell? You guys are just going to do this to tear the land apart. And then you have white people who don't tell the truth. White lawmakers like Orrin Hatch, like Mike Lee, like Chris Stewart, like especially fucking Rob Bishop, that twat waffle, and Gary Herbert. And you know what? Fuck it. Spencer Cox, too. Sorry, buddy. You know, Hitler's personal assistant, still a douchebag. So are you. But they're all like, no, no, we don't want to do it. We don't want to, you know, it's not for strip mining. It's not for exploitation. It's not for mining. It's not for mineral rights. And even before we've had the first lawsuit go before a judge, we already have overwhelming evidence that, yes, it is. It is uranium. It is gas. It is oil. You know, they're probably going to make a fucking pitch for fucking tar sands out there. Go look at vast chunks of Alberta. You want to see what tar sands looks like? They're lying. And when you stand up and say that they're lying.
When you look at the nightmare landscape in Alberta from all of that work and all the sluice ponds that they can't hold on to and those that have had disastrous results from dam breakages into natural waterways. Shit. Here's the thing, Jeff. August 24th, 2017, the AP. No national monuments will be eliminated, Ryan Zinke says. Okay? There would be a change to a handful. 5 days ago, Zinke urges Trump to cut 2 more national monuments. So not only, okay, are they going, okay, did that Barack Obama created Gold Butte in 2016? It's almost 300,000 acres. Okay? Clinton designated 52,000 acres as the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument in 2000. Obama expanded it to 48,000 acres in 2017. Okay, the day after Trump signed proclamations reducing the size of the 2 national monuments, he urged the president to cut Nevada's Gold Butte and Oregon's Cascade Siskiyou. All right, they're coming after us.
Well, yeah. The problem is that when we start pounding the desk and yelling about it, you know, instead of having a royal chorus join us, we have our other single issue progressives that are pissed off we're not talking about their shit right now.
I know.
And it's one thing that Republicans do very well is multitask their bullshit. We can't get our people to be like, climate change is bad. Well, sure it is, but so are men. Well, sure men are, you know, but so is big business. Well, sure it is, but so are taxes. Well, sure taxes are bad, but what about that guy? You know, I mean, it's just like we have, you know, political attention deficit disorder. And
what I'm saying is focus. Okay, fine. There's a place and a time for everything. And this is like what I'm saying is I'm building upon what you're talking about with Bears Ears. I mean, when I saw the amount that they are shrinking it down to,
it's like 80%.
Mind blowing.
Well, and here's the thing. And I swear to God, this was said to me by a Democratic lawmaker about 13, 14 years ago when the Skull Valley ghost shoots were trying to store highly dangerous nuclear waste on their res when they were so desperate for money of any kind because they are treated so fucking awfully by the governments that are keeping them prisoner that they wanted to fill their sacred land with highly radioactive nuclear waste, stuff that we don't store in Utah. And we store a lot of poisonous shit here. We got the Dugway Proving Grounds. We're all about it. This stuff was worse than that. And the point that I was trying to make at one of these political discussions that we had at the time was, hey, how about we look at the root cause for why a people would want to desecrate their land with garbage, dangerously toxic garbage that white people made because they need the money. Maybe we should address that fucking problem, you know, instead of whether or not you're worried that a truck full of goo is going to drive past your Whole Foods. And maybe this is a cause that we as lefties, Democrats, liberals and progressives really should be championing and should have been championing since we took over not being racist from the Republicans when that all fucking switched in the 60s. And the answer that I got was, you know, that problem's been around for so long. We have other things that we can take care of now. Basically, we have been fucking over the Native American people for so fucking long. What's another 50, 60 years?
I think that's what they feel. They feel as if there is nobody they can trust. There's nobody who can they could talk to. They do as much self-determination as they can with what they've got. But there's absolutely no need. I mean, why would they need to talk to a white person, and especially any white person that walks in with the idea that they are some kind of white savior? They'll get laughed right out immediately. Now, what I'm saying is that we have proven ourselves to be completely untrustworthy, completely unable to resolve any issues whatsoever for them. And we have earned the disrepute and lack of and trust that's come to us. We talk about it, we wring our hands, we grieve about it, but it's just like, to them, it's just like, well, why the fuck should we, like, you don't really care. If you cared, things would change.
Yeah.
And I know, because a friend of mine has been living with that their entire life.
Here's the thing.
And I understand it. I get it.
As I am mocked by a couple of people listening for saying, here's the thing again. Here's the thing. Apparently I say that a lot.
Here's the thing.
I'm going to loop this back around. I'm a good guy. Okay? I don't poison Native Americans. I don't run them off their land. When a time pops up that I can say or use what, you know, limited notoriety I have to point at a cause and say, hey, Republicans, knock that shit off. I do. I go to marches. I go to rallies. Okay? I'm a good guy. There is no reason whatsoever for Native Americans to trust any fucking white person at all, ever. Ever. And just because it's not all white people, your silence, folks, for those of you that aren't paying attention to this, and let it disappear out of your day-to-day brain. I promise, I swear to you, on whatever holy relic you need me to believe me, I do spend at least a few minutes a day, and this is just the dumbest thing I'm ever going to say.
Maybe not.
I think about the Native Americans, how fucked over they're getting every day. Every day. Because of friends that I have that have had to live through that. Every day. And what I get when I bring it up with too many people is it's a long issue, or they should their own bootstraps. Fuck you, by the way. You took away their bootstraps.
Bootstraps?
So.
Fuck you. They don't. What bootstraps?
Yeah. What boots? You know, it's basically you took a race of people hostage. You put them in a jail. You murdered 96% of them. You allow them no economic growth without such severe restrictions that why the fuck would you? You've destroyed their culture. You've done your best to eradicate and exterminate their rituals and their language. And then you got the balls to stand up in front of me and say, well, it's time for them to do their own thing. They should just stand up. They should just do it. And, you know, that's Trumpian. That's the voice speaking of those that have inherited from those that came before.
And that's white privilege.
White privilege is shockingly, anybody that tells me white privilege isn't a thing just doesn't know any better. Guess what? Poor people have white privilege. Destitute people that are white have white privilege. They do. You know, a homeless white guy will be treated better than a homeless black guy any fucking day of the week. Any day.
Take two drivers. One is white. The other is non-white. Which one gets pulled over more?
Exactly. You got two homeless guys with pot or booze. One of them stole it. One of them's giving it away, or one of them's selling it. It's not that hard to figure out what the police are going to say. You know,
but
what do you do? What do you got to do? Is you got to change the whole fucking system, because the system is fucked. I went to a job interview this week, and they asked me why I didn't want to do politics anymore. And the truthful answer with no swear words is...
Was it a political job?
No.
Was it
No, it was with a firm that needs some marketing help. And they're looking for a semi... No, it's a semi-entry-level thing. You know, it's junior ad man. It's where I was 25 years ago. But I don't care. I need money. I need to get the fuck out of my house. I need to move this studio. I will debauch myself. I have applied to gas stations, grocery stores. You know, I can't be an Uber driver because they are more evil than fucking Walmart. But anyway, ask me, you know, why are you trying to get out of politics? And the truth is simple. And that's 25 years ago when I started doing this, you know, even though it was just part time. And I never thought I would do it as much as I have ended up doing it. I could disagree with somebody and we could still hold hands and skip after. And that's no longer the case. And in Utah, it hasn't been the case for a long time. The last two times I've been in an unemployment situation, I've had to go to job interviews where people have just brought me in to do nothing more than to argue their point on why they think I'm full of shit and going to hell. Hell! Not for a job interview, but because they know who I am. Now, the further I get away from KSL News Radio, the less that happens, which is both good and bad, you know. But this is just, it's why you want out of politics. I'm like, because it's toxic. It's toxic and I'm tired. You know, I've been fighting a long time. And I knew that I was talking to a Republican, and I'm just like, I can't fight like this anymore, because I spend... And this is the part I didn't tell him because it would have needed a backstory. I spend more time fighting with fucking Democrats than I do Republicans, especially here, because they're all in their own little schisms. Their shit's more important than your shit. Doesn't matter who you are or what it's about, you know, and they are fighting to be the most impotent group of politicians and politics people in the world. They're fighting for it. They are ruining each other's lives. They are destroying the livelihoods of families because they're more important and their way of making money or their way of making noise is more important than a unified message. And it's a cancer that is spread. It didn't start here. And while we have little islands of success, when you look at the turn Colorado blue stuff, it's still reversing. Roy Moore is going to get elected on Tuesday. I know that the same way I knew that fucking Donald Trump was going to get elected. You know, and it probably won't be legitimate, and there will probably be some really stinky hinky shit about it, but that fucker's going to the Senate. There's a child molester going to the Senate that we know about before.
And what are they going to do? Greet him with open arms?
Well, yeah.
Going to do?
But are they going to bring their kids around for take your daughter to work day?
Fuck no.
Because you got to make compromises.
Get this. Here's a pro Moore ad. Okay, as of tonight, okay, on Sunday. Here's some of the copy in it. Desperate to steal the Senate race, Jones and his race hustling. He's talking about Doug Jones, the Democrat. Okay. I'm going to do it now, Bayman, maybe. Desperate to steal the Senate race, Jones and his race hustling allies are trying to start a race war, and it's only going to get worse in the final weekend with millions of dollars in street money to turn out the vote, it adds. A pro-Moore ad calling a drive to increase turnout a race war tells you all you need to know. That one is from Daniel. All I expect them to do next is just say, I want him to bust up my shiver robe. Fucking assholes.
All they've done, sir, is interrupt my enjoyment of Sazerac. I can't even enjoy a julep.
I don't think the show is very much listened to in those states. I know it's popular in Texas. A lot of people in Texas listen to the show.
Probably around the Austin and Austin
probably.
Area.
I should drill into that and find out a little bit more.
So, Roy Moore. I am. You know what? Fuck it. I'm doing it anyway. So Roy Moore gets home from work one day and sees his wife out on the front step, and she looks pissed. She's throwing his shit out. And he's like, honey, what's going on? Why are you throwing all my shit out on the lawn? And she says, God damn it, Roy. The neighbors have said that you're a pedophile. Oh, pedophile? I'm no pedophile. That sure is a big word for a 10-year-old.
Oh, wow!
I'll take it. All right, so what the fuck was that? So
Weirdo by Charlatans UK.
I love that, and you need to send me that track.
Okay.
Quentin Tarantino and J.J. Abrams are millimeters away from picking a writer for Quentin Tarantino's Star Trek movie.
Yeah. It's interesting who they're choosing.
Well, you've got three or four choices.
Megan Armoren.
Which one?
Megan Armoren.
Oh, she's not on my list.
I saw her. She was in the meeting. I don't know if she's rising to the top, but she's fucking fantastic.
I've got the three closest right now are Mark L. Smith, who wrote The Revenant.
Mm-hmm.
No bears. Drew Pierce, who wrote arguably, not legitimate arguably, but arguably the worst of the Iron Man movies, Iron Man 3.
Lindsay Beer,
who...
Godzilla versus the King Kong.
But yeah, that's not till 2020. I mean, right now she's writing the fucking Barbie movie.
oh, no, really?
Go look her up.
Wow.
You know.
That's Owen Wilson, by the way, people.
That's a good one. But you got that, and but this seems done.
It's definitely going to happen.
An R-rated Star Trek movie.
You were boldly going where Star Trek has never gone before.
Well, that's
we've
the
already
other thing.
Started a brand new. We turned the page with the TV with the new TV series on CBS. Okay,
dropping the F-bomb, saying shit.
That's great.
Yeah,
it's great. Okay, I'm not gonna pay for CBS again, so I can fucking like spend $10 again and watch the damn thing. I'll watch it. I'll get there. However, maybe I'll show up on the CW. Just kidding. Anyway, Tarantino, the idea that him and Star Trek, okay, it's not just going to be like one scene taking on the bridge and everybody shooting each other and just like dropping F-bombs until they all die.
Maybe.
But
there might be a sword.
Okay. Think about it. Go ahead. Good.
Look, as I have said out loud and in public, I have the most confused, conflicted nerd boner I have ever had in my life. There are two things in this world that I love, and people know, and I love Tarantino movies, and I love Star Trek. And now the two of them are getting together, and I'm like, oh, well, I love steak, and I love ice cream. But perhaps the two don't belong in the same dish. I don't know. I think I'm excited. Look, what are you going to do when you are fighting the Disney fucking juggernaut on Star Wars? Okay.
Fucking think outside of the, think outside the starship. Okay. I mean, even if he brings in Samuel Jackson, that'd be great because now he's in Star Wars and Star Trek. Nevertheless, just it was like I was seeing it and I was looking at it first and I was thinking, what? It was just, well, wait a minute. That could work. Why not? To just flip it completely on its head. Give it a new agency. Give it a new urgency. A brand new chance to breathe again.
My worry is that this will happen. I think this will kill the franchise with Chris Pine and Zachary Quinto. And I'm not at all ready for that. I want more movies with those guys. I want more of Chris Pine's Enterprise. I like them. Yes, the stories are weak as fuck. They are not good. None of the three of them have been very good. But they've made the money they need to make, even if it's in an overseas market. All those guys have nailed their fucking characters to the floor. They have it. Give them a good script, and they can do it. But we do not hear Captain Kirk say fuck. But then again, you know what? I never thought I'd hear Professor X say fuck. And when I heard it in Logan, I was delighted. So maybe it is time. Maybe it is time. But I do not want the Chris Pine Kelvin post-Kelvin universe to go away. And I have a feeling that if Tarantino makes a rated R Star Trek movie, and it's good, and it does well, that I will never see Chris Pine wearing a yellow shirt again. And I'm not ready for that. Mm-hmm. I think those guys deserve to have a really exceptionally good movie. They're all fun. They're all very nice to watch. But
I think Carl Urban could really be, yeah, because if you're Bones, now that's where really it gets earthy.
Yeah.
You think about, okay, you start digging into that. I think there's a good, that's really, really good. We've knocked off Bruce Greenwood. Okay, we got Simon Pegg. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, John Cho, great. It's, yeah, Chris, Zachary, Carl.
Zoe Saldana.
Fucking Zoe. I mean, God, she's more than proved, more than way above proved her abilities. I think she's really strong. You're right. The scripts have been shit. I do love, though, the origin story from the very first movie. It's very emotional. So that's why they're thinking about bringing back Chris Hemsworth. So he's, you know, Kirk and Dad, do something. I don't know.
That one gives me worries because of Star Trek Generations. If you're going to take out Kirk in such a chicken shit way, you guys have obviously proved that you don't really deserve to babysit this material. And then, look, 2009 Star Trek was a very weak story. And it became a weak story because they gutted all the parts that made it a good story. All the parts with that when you had Eric Bana at the end go, here's my summary. Okay.
What do you mean when they do their soliloquy at the end and explain why?
Yeah. He's like, well, we came through and then the shit happened and then here we are. It's like, okay, that was some good stuff. And there was a comic book, a four-part miniseries that came out before the movie that explained the whole goddamn thing with Romulus and the red matter and everything so that it wasn't just this insanely convenient plot device. It set it up beautifully. And that got cut out of the original script. And what it is, and please understand that I really like J.J. Abrams. That guy is in a constant search for the 90-minute film, and he really pulls it off. What was the one?
More Spielberg than Spielberg. What, yeah, Super 8?
Super 8. Holy shit, that was a great little monster movie.
Talk about my youth.
Yeah.
That was my fucking youth.
And yet, you know, it's he's a good director. But I'm a guy who fights against studio influence. But Paramount should have been like, no, how about you make the good movie at 220 as opposed to the garbage movie, at an hour 10? Can we?
Jesus fucking Christ. Can you believe somebody would do that an hour 10?
Well, it was.
Like, you got no story. You got nothing.
I was being a little hyperbolic. I know.
But I was just about to say, it's got to be as strong as the titular head, and that is The Undiscovered Country. It has to be.
Dude, Star Trek V could have been the best Star Trek movie of them all had the studio not stolen all of Shatner's money.
I was kidding.
Just saying. I love Star Trek V. I will always love Star Trek V, and I will defend it with fisticuffs, sir. Old-fashioned boxing style.
This is Star Trek VI. This is the Undiscovered Country with Star Trek VI.
No, and it was fine. Whatever. Star Trek V was a fucking masterpiece. Star Trek V!
Fuck Nemesis, God.
Can you believe that the guy who played the Jean-Luc Picard's clone is the same guy that played Bane in Nolan's Batman movies?
You're shitting me.
No, that's Tom Hardy, man. That little skinny, effete, little French Romulan kid. That's Tom Hardy.
No.
I swear to you, it's Tom Hardy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Legend?
Yep.
And actually the one I'm talking about is the 2015. It's about the Cray brothers. It's Tom Hardy. There were twin gangsters in London.
I haven't seen that
London,
yet.
The Crays. And he plays both of them. That movie, right? Not?
I have not seen it. No. And I want to, cause that's the one where he's standing there and he's got the little curlicue mustache and he calls the dude a cunt.
Ooh.
I know that movie, and I've wanted to see it, and I didn't know what the name of it was. I've seen the old Legend when we're talking about actors you don't really think, and old Tim Curry as the devil was pretty fucking badass.
Right.
Hardy. Tom Hardy as clone Luc Picard.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it gives me the giggles every time I see him all muscly and badass. I caught him the other night on that what was that movie he did? He did a movie with Chris Pine and Reese Witherspoon.
This Means War.
Yeah. Yeah, that badass guy with the British accent, that was that skinny little clone Luke Picard. Yeah, nuts.
Tom Hardy. Yeah, and he was great in Fury Road.
He was very good in that.
Yes, yes.
Tell me, Jean-Luc Picard. Jeremy, you're not allowed to die, Enterprise.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't know. All right.
Wait. What was the one where they crashed the starship and all of them? I was of course going to jump to Furiosa, Charlize Theron. But back to Legend. Oh, yes, yes.
You shall know the quality of your pain.
So here's the thing. So the new Kelvinverse, right? Which is what we dorks call it, because that's where we got the split timelines. There was a reason why at the end of Star Trek 3, no matter how shitty the search for Spock was, and let me tell you something, that was Doc Brown as a Klingon. That was a bad movie.
That's right. I remember that.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Hey, Marty, I'm a Klingon. but there was a reason why, even with as shitty as that movie was, and even as bad as Shatner's beats were there toward the end when he was kicking Lloyd down a cliff, there was a reason that the explosion of the Enterprise was emotionally jarring. And you know what? That was a one-off. Stop fucking up the ship. Stop it.
Did you notice what they do with it when the JJ took it? JJ took it underwater.
That was pretty cool. That wasn't JJ. Yeah. That was the new guy. That was the Fast and Furious guy.
No, that was the second movie.
No, it was the third movie. That was Beyond.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Into Darkness. That was the second one. That wasn't JJ. That was the Fast and Furious guy. JJ only did the first movie, didn't he?
He did the first and second.
I am looking this shit up right now.
Oh my God, because I remember he did the first and second.
Into Darkness came out around about, hang on, here we go. Full cast and crew, Into Darkness.
Yeah, he did Into Darkness.
Well, I take it back. I thought he was working on Star Trek by then, but he was not.
After that he did.
Yep.
No, it's probably at the same time.
It was 2013, and that last Star Trek movie was only, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, that's right.
Great. I liked Beyond, by the way. The only thing I didn't like about it was that they fucked up the ship. You know? I'm just like, why do you have to do that? Why stop it?
They blow the shit up out of the ship. That's all they do anymore.
And then that really neat Indian lady with the cool voice.
It is okay. Yeah. It's okay, Captain Kirk. We have a spare in the ship.
Oh, man. I'm searching. Okay, I'm going. I'm digging in. I'm looking for it.
I love that lady's voice, beyond. Man. Yeah,
okay, Star Trek beyond. I'm lost.
Need 15 more. The one okay. Where Idris Elba had to wear all the makeup.
Of course, I don't know how can they replace. How can they possibly replace Anton Yelchin? How can it? What are they going to do?
Oh, they can't. So he's just on another ship. Hello?
I did.
Hello?
I lost you.
No, I can hear you.
Holy shit.
You know what, though?
Where are you?
I think we should call that a show. I do. And you can't hear me.
Jeff, man, I lost you.
My internet's about to die. And now my internet works again. And so this will be flawless. A flawless edit as we move forward. So you, when people couldn't hear us, were agreeing with me that Star Trek V was the best of all the Star Trek movies, I believe.
I was saying that in jest.
No, it's true. You go back and look at the, if you could find it online. I used to have a copy of it somewhere. I've been packing up my office and I can't find it. I had a script for the original screenplay for Star Trek V, and it was fucking awesome. And then they took away
Final Frontier. Okay.
They took away all his money. And made him rewrite the ending to something stupid. But you still have the best line of any, not only any Star Trek movie, but I believe any movie ever made. And that's, excuse me, what does God need with a starship?
I remember that.
And then Bones is, you don't question the, you don't meet the Almighty and then ask him for his driver's license. I was like, oh my God, that's so fucking great. They haven't had driver's licenses in 200 years and there's Bones being dumb. But yeah, what does God need with a starship? I have never, ever heard that line and not been just delighted with it. And while it may not have the emotional punch that he's dead already, man, had, you know, it's still, there was some, the whole Cybok storyline was so fucking cool before they had to change it all. It was so good. The laughing Vulcan.
So all back. Okay. The guy. Oh, okay. Lawrence Luckinbill.
Yeah.
Cybok. Okay. Right now, although Roddenberry gets writing credits, he wasn't involved in that. Okay. Shatner was the story. Harv Bennett was the story. David Lowry was the story, but it was David Lowry that got the credit for the screenwriting.
Right. Poor guy. And then they gutted his budget after they'd started production.
Jesus, so, really? Is that what happened with it?
That's what happened with it.
Wow.
And so there's most that. Of it was they had a bunch of principal photography done. But they hadn't done any of the special effects. And that was when they cut the budget. And suddenly your big special effects heavy ending and a bunch of goofy shit in the middle, they couldn't fix. And that's why it looked so silly on camera. And that's why it ended so poorly, is they had to rewrite the ending because they didn't have the money to do it the way it was written.
Oh, my God.
And it's, you know, when you look at the fact that Nimoy had two fucking shots and nobody cut his fucking budget, you know, but Shatner got shafted. I'm just saying. Shatner is Boston Legal. Shatner is Captain Kirk. Shatner did not deserve how poorly Paramount treated him. And I will.
TJ Hooker, too.
Yeah. I love TJ Hooker. I do. I don't know if you ever listened to the comic book show. It's the bumper music for our ins and outs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the TJ Hooker great. Theme. I don't think anybody knows that but me. I don't think anybody on the show knows that because I don't think anybody.
Wow.
We're all sci-fi geeks, but I was the only one that watched Hooker. You know, because it was Hooker. Love that. I love T.J. Hooker so much, I watch Richard Grieco and Booker. Because they're rhymed. That's not fair. Richard Grieco.
Depp and Grieco. Grieco and Depp.
Yeah.
Depp and Grieco.
I got Richard Grieco's autograph picture hanging on my wall. I do, man. That guy.
Oh, my God.
That guy was far more beautiful than Johnny Depp, but did not age as well.
No, he didn't. But they brought him in for, 21 Jump Street. Yeah.
And then when he got his own show, let me see if I can get IMDb.
We watched every episode. Watched every freaking episode.
Booker, 1989, Richard Grieco. Oh, Marcia Strassman.
Really?
Yeah, she was the redheaded secretary.
Wow.
Yeah, and look, they got a season out of it, and I liked it. And the truth is if anybody loves me, they will give me that for Christmas. But I did, man. I loved that show. I just little itty bitty pieces. I thought it was fucking fantastic. Katie Rich was in it. Marcia Strassman. Fucking Lori Petty was in it for 10 episodes.
Yeah, Lori Petty was in it. Yeah, that's right.
I love Lori Petty.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying. Wow. It was
well,
good.
We've got, you know, I mean, lot to catch up on. I mean, not just that. Quick hits though. So as we kind of wrap this up. We've talked about Stranger Things 2, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't watched it yet.
Longmire. Oh, Longmire.
Oh, my God. That was so good. It was so good. I am so sad it's over.
Yeah, we're pretty sad.
I am. It ended well. And I don't get to say that about a lot of series I love. You know, I didn't get to say it about The Sopranos. I didn't get to say it about Lost. I didn't get to say it about... I mean, just so many different shows. This one, it had a good ending. I'm sad it's over. I'm glad everything got tied up. And since I read the books, you know, the sheriff basically the sheriff Longmire and Katie Sackhoff like hooked up way early in the series, and it was nice to have that resolve as well.
That tension that you could just cut with a knife.
Yeah,
but Katie Sackhoff is fucking awesome. I mean, what an amazing arc of character in the last season too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time with her. And what's nice about the very ending is the daughter. And I don't care. They're full of spoilers here, ladies and gentlemen. So the thing about it is that you could actually come... Maybe you could put another series together with now the daughter, because it'll be still Longmire.
Katie at Law. And you could, I mean, look, they even gave
lawyer.
Yeah, definitely. But they gave Ferg his own little, you know, story arc in this last season, and I was so delighted for that because he deserved it. But you know,
right? Cassidy Freeman, though. I mean, like, you could conceivably have, you know, the next series.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they ended the closer. They kept a lot of the original, you know, background cast for and they made another series out of it, and that just ended. That series just ended, but it didn't have nearly the same kind of awareness or punch that the closer did.
Sure.
And the reason why I bring that up is because John Coveney and Hunt Baldwin, who are the executive producers and occasional writers of Longmire, were. On, actually got their start real well. We're responsible a lot for the closer.
That was, what was her name? She married Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, right. Yes. We're really bad.
Dude, it is 10:30 on a Sunday night. I have been recording for 11 straight hours. The fact that I know my name right now. Is pretty fucking impressive.
Well, then what we ought to do then is then we ought to just like wrap it up then.
We should have an episode though where we just talk about TV we've liked over the ages.
Yep.
Absolutely. I mean, that'd be a lot of fun. Yeah, why not? Why can't we have a fun one, Tom?
Why can't we have a roasted Christmas?
Ooh, let's do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I usually drag out Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I've got a version of it that I do every year. I kind of augment the audio. I kind of change it.
Okay. I don't know if I'm titillated or terrified.
Because what happens is that we're in the shop, and Herbie is confronted by the boss elf, and you know Herbie is either got a fish or cut bait. And he makes some important life decisions right there.
Is it?
It's violent.
Oh my God.
I'll send you the clip, man.
Okay. That's terrifying. I'm now terrified.
All right, man. This is great. Thank you. It's good therapy.
I miss you when we don't talk.
I know. I miss you too. God, it's been a weekends. I'm just so freaking busy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So it's fucking nuts. We'll do the best we can with what we got.
All right, brother. Well, until we talk this next week and do a Christmas episode, you know, I wish you Godspeed.
Thank you. I will send you the Herbie and we'll go from there.
It's time to play us out.
All right.
I saw that you have an apartment for rent.
Okay. Here, apartment 23.
Oh, okay.
I just have one rule here. No kissing the mailman.
I don't think that's going to be a problem.
You haven't seen him, so don't say that yet.
Mail's here.
Wow.
And for all of you Superman fanboys...
Oh, no, this is horrible. You see, Stewie, there are tons of actors like this. They all started out just like you, but eventually they were destroyed by their parents' greed, drugs, or perverted Hollywood directors.
Oh, like Bryan Singer.
Exactly.
Choke on that. We've been talking about it on the comic book show since we started. Mainstream media. More like lamestream media.
Go Donkeys!
See you, buddy.
Later, man.
Life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it, not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it. It's Captain.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow.
Star Trekking across the universe.
On the Starship Enterprise under Captain Kirk.
Star Trekking across the universe.
Only going forward, still can't find reverse.
It's worse than that, he's dead, Jim, dead, Jim, dead, Jim. It's worse than that, he's dead, Jim, dead, Jim, dead.
It's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it, not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, Jim.
Starship Captain James T. Kirk.
Ah, we come in peace, shoot to kill, shoot to kill, shoot to kill. We come in peace, shoot to kill. Shoot to kill, man.
It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead.
Well, it's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it. Not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it. Captain.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow. Starboard bow. Starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow. Scrape them off, Jim.
Star Trekking across the universe.
On the Starship Enterprise under Captain Kirk.
Star Trekking across the universe.
Laws of physics, Jim.
Oh, we come in peace, shoot to kill, shoot to kill, shoot to kill. We come in peace, shoot to kill, Scotty, beam me up.
It's worse than that, he's dead, Jim, dead, Jim, dead, Jim. It's worse than that, he's dead, Jim, dead, Jim, dead.
Well, it's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it, not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it, Captain.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow.
You can't
Mr. Engine Room?